Does your life ever feel a little stale? Well, there's no reason you can't inject it with some adventure right now. According to Shelby Stanger, author of the new book, Will to Wild, Adventures Great and Small to Change Your Life. Shelby is a journalist whose work has appeared in Outside Magazine and on ESPN, and she hosts the podcast Wild Ideas Worth Living, produced by REI Co-op Studios. Here she is to share five of her key insights.
Hi, I'm Shelby Stanger. I'm a journalist, podcaster, and adventurer. I'm going to share with you five insights from my book, Will to Wild, Adventures Great and Small to Change Your Life. Insight number one, a little adventure can go a long way. I've been fascinated by adventure and its profound effects ever since I was a kid. I didn't grow up outdoorsy, but as a teen through my 20s, I taught surfing lessons. Women would come for a weekend or week-long clinic, learn to ride a few waves, and shortly after, one of them would call me saying they quit their job, ended a relationship that was no longer serving them for good, or that they were moving across the country to a place with a better beach. I was so intrigued by this phenomenon, I inadvertently made it my life's work to study people who chase the will to wild full-time, first as an adventure journalist, then as an adventure podcaster, and most recently, as an author. I learned pursuing your own will to wild, or wild ideas as I like to call them, something as simple as signing up for a surf lesson, going for a big hike or big to the person hiking the trail, or even making a commitment to watch the sunrise every day for a month could have a profound effect on someone's mindset and life. I've interviewed hundreds of people who did just this. From a mom who became an ice climbing guide at age 55, to a retired sales executive who biked from Alaska to Mexico, a couple who skied to the South Pole while the wife was going through menopause, and even someone who just took up bird watching. There's a lot of things you can do to change your life, but I believe one of the most fun and exciting ways is to have an adventure. First, nature is healing. In nature, our blood pressure often decreases, our nervous systems relax, and we can often make decisions more easily. A 2019 study proved even as little as 20 minutes of nature a day can reduce the stress hormone cortisol. Being in nature also provides the chance to experience awe and flow. Think about the times you've witnessed a magical sunset, seen a giant redwood tree, a dolphin leap in the ocean, or a bird swoop down and grab a worm or a snake. Chances are it stopped you in your tracks. You could have been having a bad day before, but when you see something like that, it's a pattern interrupter. You often soften and you become kinder. When you look up at a sky of stars or out at a grand horizon from a mountaintop, you often realize how small we are, yet how much more connected we are to each other. Adventuring in nature also forces us to be present. When riding a wave or hiking near a ledge, you have to slow down and pay attention, or you'll fall. Being so present and surrounded by so much beauty can be really cathartic. Nature doesn't judge who you are, how much money you have, or what you look like, and she provides a lot of great lessons. You can't have rainbows without rain. Lastly, adventuring in nature allows us to build courage. Surf a wave that scares you, climb a steep mountain, go on your first hike, or just try snowboarding or skiing for the first time, and afterwards, you can't help but feel more badass. That badassery will carry over to the rest of your life. Insight number two, have a strong why. Wild ideas are scary. Having a strong why will keep you on the trail, even when you want to turn back. Most of all, having a strong why will shush the naysayers and the doubters, including the biggest ones of all, the ones often in your own head. Most people have a wild idea they want to pursue, an idea that keeps them awake at night and scares them, but that they know will propel their life forward in a positive way. I interviewed Dr. Edith Eger, a Holocaust survivor, and the oldest guest who appeared on my Wild Ideas Worth Living podcast, who at 91 when I spoke with her, had just published her first book, which she followed by publishing another book 2 years later. Edith was friends with Dr. Viktor Frankl, also a Holocaust survivor, a psychiatrist, and the author whose line, "Those who have a why can bear with any how," is pretty famous. Edith's philosophy was also that if you have a strong why, you will find a way to do the thing you most want to do. Edith's why in surviving the Holocaust was just to live and to see her family again. Your why in pursuing a wild idea might be because you think a wild idea will improve your health, your relationship with your family, yourself, or maybe it'll just bring you a lot of joy, or because not doing so will bring you too much pain. Even if your why is just because it brings you immense joy, that's a great why. As Edith taught me, self-love is self-care. It's not narcissistic. If you need help finding your wild idea and your why behind it, ask yourself, what would you do if you won the lottery tomorrow? If you were to give a TED Talk, what gift do you have that you can share that might help others? When your why is attached to altruism, the desire to do something to help others, it's like adding a super booster. Your own wild idea might even be an act of altruism itself, paving a path for someone else, a group, or even an entire community. Once you have your why, it'll be so much easier to stay the course, cull the doubt, and to keep going, even when things get challenging. Insight number 3, map your trail, but start as soon as you can. When it comes to wild ideas, if it takes too long to plan or there's too much to do, you can easily get overwhelmed and quit. A sailor told me it best. He said, you can either untie the dock lines or not. You can let yourself be unready forever if you let yourself be. Eventually, the sailor and his wife realized they could finish some of their sailing projects at sea after they left the safe harbor. Obviously, you want to plan and prep for anything that can go wrong as best as possible, especially when your wild idea involves risk. The more riskier, the more adept you'll need to be at handling what to do when something goes wrong, which will likely happen on any adventure. My advice is to go to people who've done something similar and learn from them. Eventually, you just have to set sail, put your feet on the dirt trail, and just go. There's always going to be more to learn and more to do. One thing that helps, put down a deposit on that campsite, that park permit, that basic wilderness first aid class, or plane ticket. If you have some skin in the game, you are less likely to back out, and a deadline and some knowledge will encourage you to start. Even if it costs a little money, adventure doesn't have to be expensive, and investing in yourself is the best investment you can ever make. Insight number 4, use humor to deflate fear. When it comes to adventure, it's not if, but when something goes wrong. You can moan or you can get upset, but that wastes energy. Big wave surfers and hardcore rock climbers are known for immense amounts of smack talking, even in perilous situations. Even free solo Oscar-winning rock climber Alex Honnold likes to crack jokes when it gets tense with his climbing partner. When I taught surfing lessons, the most athletic students would sometimes get in their heads when they were not excelling immediately, and other students would start beating themselves up if they were scared of going out in bigger waves, myself included. A good joke and helping them take themselves less seriously often helped them loosen up, get out there, and ride the waves. If you do get into a serious jam, when you can't extract yourself, get help. Then, much later, maybe laugh about it. Some of the biggest adventure mishaps make for the funniest stories, often much later. Insight number 5, take the scenic route and give yourself grace at the finish line. Unless you're going for a record or a fastest known time, take the slower scenic route. The extra time to go off the side trail to get to the epic vista or that awesome waterfall is almost always worth it. Some of the best adventures happen when you go off the trail. Say yes to a new friend's request to cook a campfire dinner or take the route that leads you to an empty, stunning mountainside lake. Many adventurers have told me that that's also how they met their best friend, their soulmate, or even their life partner. I met my own while he and I were surfing in Costa Rica. When you finish your epic adventure, even if it's small, give yourself grace at the finish line and try to celebrate along the way. Many adventure stories glorify the finish line, but re-entry can take some time getting used to. A guy I knew puked the minute he returned to the city after a long time in the wilderness. The smell, he said, was just too much. Some people experience some grief and fatigue, especially if the adventure was truly grand. So take your time, plan mini adventures when you get back to your daily life, and do your best to carry the spirit of adventure back to your everyday life. And be kind to yourself. That's what the Will to Wild is about, after all. It's about kindness, and it's about living with intention and making the choice to have a deeper relationship with nature however you can. Thank you so much for listening. As I say at the end of all of my podcasts and my book, some of the best adventures happen when you follow your wildest ideas. I hope you enjoy my first book, Will to Wild, Adventures Great and Small to Change Your Life and Get Out There. Thank you.
Thanks, Shelby. That was five big ideas from Will to Wild, Adventures Great and Small to Change Your Life by Shelby Stanger. Also, check out our book bite for The Creativity Factor, Using the Power of the Outdoors to Spark Successful Innovation by Gary Pratt. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.